Blog Talk Radio.
The bloom, the swoon, the sugar's on your block. The planets let them flash in the corners of New York. The ghetto, the meadow, the Mr. Butterflew. The honey bugs dug and licked the honeybee. The sun, the kiss, the funk for a bit. The lips with the soul and some jazz for your hip. The puff, the buzz, the lids be heavy slick. The mecca get a rush when the beats be very thick. The hands, the feet, the brown baby treat. The femmes fumble loose and drink the doodle juice. The steps, the flams, the planets got damp. The people get a grip with the tape from a jam. A nickel bag of funk, a nickel bag of funk.
A nickel bag of funk, a nickel bag of funk.
A nickel bag of funk, a nickel bag of funk.
Uh-huh, a nickel bag of funk, a nickel bag of funk. The big, the fat, the cool, cool cats. The psychedelic soul puts the planets on the map. The chic, the love, the far out name. The lack of the funk's the main, why we came. The boogie gets done, the colors won't run. The funk hits the square, the kids gotta come. The pizza with the pop, the West Wharf stop. The crew after crew that do the grasshop. The true cool is black, the new school is fat. The beats by the ounce, the funk by the pack. The groove is the fix, the jitterbug fix. The hanging off the butts with the fat soul kicks. That's my nickel bag of funk, my nickel bag of funk.
A nickel bag of funk, a nickel bag of funk.
I said a nickel bag of funk, a nickel bag of funk.
Oh, a nickel bag of funk, a nickel bag of funk.
The wide, the hip, dig it, it's the trip. The loop, the scene, and the funkifying it. The sounds, the pounds, the stacks, the flares. The baggy, baggy jeans, the naughty, naughty hair. The twinkle in the eye, the kisses living fly. The crew from the sky, the stuff to get you high. The action, the work for the rhyme. We goes the whole nine. The papers won't rot, the vapors get got. The streets get the buzz, the funk off your block. The opium groove, the smacked out soul. The kicking it live, the fat gotta roll. With my nickel bag of funk, my nickel bag of funk.
A nickel bag of funk.
Yeah, it's a nickel bag of funk, a nick bag of funk.
A nickel bag of funk, a nickel bag of funk.
Nickel bag, a nickel bag. Ladybugger hit you with a nickel bag. A
nickel bag,
a nickel bag.
Butterfly hit you with a nickel bag.
A nickel bag,
a nickel bag.
Doodlebugger hit you with a nickel bag.
A nickel bag,
a nickel bag.
DP's always hit you with a nickel bag.
Hey everyone, welcome to Headliners Ball. This show's format gives both authors and audience alike the chance to entertain a deeper discussion regarding a choice selection of poems from the author's catalog of work. Headliners will perform pieces in their intended style. In turn, they will receive encouraging feedback from an all-inclusive panel of late-night poet callers. Additionally, there will be a chance for listeners to inquire about intended meaning, inspiration, nuance, poetic device, any other interesting details that the author is willing to expand upon. I am your host, Jeremy F., and as always, I am joined by my lovely and ever-so-talented co-host, Pam Ray, who recently had the honor of serving as midwife to Paris Hilton. That's right, our very own Pam Ray delivered Paris Hilton's firstborn son, and as an honor, as a thanks, rather, the dubious celebrity named her first son, Ray Ray. Pam, you must be honored.
I truly am, my friend. I truly am. You know, I could get paid the big bucks for that kind of job.
I can only imagine.
But yeah, right. As always, it is great to hear you, and I am looking forward to tonight's show.
As am I. I'm always worried that I'm not going to have the juice to make it through a show, but we get our little knickerbag of funk rolling. I see who we have lined up, and I get the jitters. I get excited, and I'm ready to groove, rock, and roll, and talk about some great poetry.
Absolutely.
And with that, who do we have online? Would you like to make some introductions for us?
We have with us Hope Soul. Welcome, Hope. Glad you could be here.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
And we do not have Benedict S. Raven with us yet. Hopefully he will be calling in, if not before his time, by his time.
Hopefully so, hopefully so. But we definitely have Hope with us. And she gets to go first anyway because chivalry is alive and well here on Late Night Poets. The way this is going to work, Hope, is I'm going to grab your first poem off of your set list, throw it here on the Late Night Poets chat board so everyone can pull it up and read along. And as soon as you see it, whenever you're ready to rumble, go ahead and give us a read.
All righty. This is Hiding You. I will hide you in my poetry, in your mouth, sometimes boldly, or to just sing your name. Speaking of minutes and days, your stars drunk off moonshine, or I listen to you hum to the smile lines of my pale face. My pen is madly in love. Believe this when I whisper, you are in my rights. Oftentimes hidden in codes that only you will know. Between the you and me, I before the E we breathe. Your exhales, my fingers craft art from your essence. Colors of browns, ombres to silver, leading greens and blues, creating with you. In my eyes you will stay, behind the hazel, drinking, feeling rich off the gold specks that mingle with you in my sight. There you will see, hear, believe in, all that makes me yours. I will keep you in my poetry, where I can create dreams, play with words that bring taste to your lips, memories flooding, keeping us in remembrances, resting, waking, live and knowing where you will always be. And poem.
Wonderful read, Hope. This is a great way to start the show off tonight. Wonderful poem. Go ahead, Pam. Start us off, please.
Yes, first of all, yeah, that was a great read there. You have a beautiful reading voice. I really like your style of poetry and your creativity with imagery and metaphors. And I like how this is a love poem, and it's a love poem that poets can definitely relate to, because I think of any one of us that have been in love with somebody or been in a relationship with somebody have put those little secrets into our poetry, those little that only you and him get, or, you know, you and your partner get. I really like the playing with words here. Between the you and me, I before the E, we breathe with your exhales. My fingers craft art from your essence. You know, just beautiful and stunning lines. And I'd like to know, Hope, how you got started writing poetry.
Oh, well, thank you. That's one of my favorite parts of that poem. I like to play with just the wording. I think that's what makes poetry just so fun to create. I started writing when I was very young, maybe like a teen, like middle school years. I used writing as a way to like, just I had so many thoughts and I needed to just create, and I found writing to be the best way to do so.
Very cool. I like that.
Well, and I want to give you a nod from the board, so just for everyone that's listening in as well, because I know you have a little bit of a fan base that's joining us tonight. So I want to mention that Stelina is on the boards, keeping us alive and well, keeping us honest, along with Weaver. And Stelina says, a stunning write. Hope is extremely talented, and I will always love to read her work. Very sweet, Stelina. And, yeah, I want to echo a lot of what Pam said. I mean, I totally agree with a lot of it. What I really enjoy are these poems that kind of let down that fourth wall, and they poems that actually talk about writing poetry. Because, again, what Pam alluded to is it's something that's a passion of all of us here on the site. And it brings us in because we all smile and we know the feeling and the process of writing poetry. So, yeah, when you mention it in a poem, it's kind of like, yeah, we're all going through it together. And it kind of, I don't know, it brings the community together in a way, in a weird kind of way. Every time that I mention writing in a poem, I always tend to like those rites of mind better. So I want to point out the exact same lines. I really love the I before E, we breathe with your exhale. That really gave me a big smile there in the second. I thought it was cool. it's a love poem. And I know that your significant other, your boyfriend, is also here. He's on our group. We're trying to get it, figure out how to get him. He's over in Europe. We're trying to get him to headline along with us. So it's cool that you share passions with someone that's so close to you, that you both are talented. I'm being so bold to assume this is about him, but I guess it could be about anybody. But I think it's cool.
It's about him.
good. I'm not causing any rifts in the relationship with my silly comment. No, I think it's cool. I mean, I think it's cool that you have a partner, you have a mate that shares that same passion for writing, and you guys can connect on that level too. So I don't know. I like it for all those reasons. And for you, I mean, you have a great body of work here that you shared with us on All Poetry. And can you kind of dive in why you chose this to lead off with tonight? Why this particular poem is special for you?
Well, I wanted to touch on a little bit of an older write because my poems have changed a lot. As you had mentioned, Nono, and him and I, he just pulls this creativity out of me. I tell him he's my muse all the time. He inspires me to try more and to be more creative. So I wanted to hit an older write right before I got into more metaphors and things like that. And I really loved that poem. It was one of the first I wrote about him, and I just wanted to just touch at that. And I liked the wordplay in that poem. That's why I chose that one to start with. I wanted just something a little sweet because I write about a lot of different things. Some can be very sensual and some can be very dark. So I tried to just start with something light.
Those are all wonderful reasons. I think it was a great start. And yes, I agree with Pam's comment as well. You did a wonderful job. I know people get the jitters at the beginning, and you did a wonderful job right out of the gate. So your next one, Vanity of Death, is up on the board, ready when you are.
Okay. Vanity of Death. I find myself trying to find an old me, familiarize something so wildly unfamiliar. With this taste of alone, I know. Each morning I wake up, the memories of knowing. I want to find the me again, the me before he died, the girl who was able to look on the brighter side. What's left over now feels old but new. I'm familiar with lonely, I know days without you, but to know you're not here anymore makes alone feel even more heavy. I feel like an orphan at times. You are my all. Years of you live in me, and nobody is alive who cares about that. Years of you live in my muscles, the muscles that I've trained to forget you, but they just couldn't. I feel like a fool now. What was the point of running when my ends was always to you? Nothing is the same. Wildly out of body, each morning I wake. The reality of you never being anymore kills at me. My lungs ache for your cigarette smoke. My stomach hungers for your food. My body craves all our encounters. But you're gone. You're really gone. The tears come at me out of nowhere. They pour out of me as if I've never stopped crying. I miss you is not enough. These words seem foolish. Everything seems foolish to me now. What is the point? Vanity on vanity. Even your death has made about me. There's no reason. Why run from anything anymore? Why run to anything anymore? You're gone. End poem.
Yeah, you definitely shifted gears on us. This is amazing. The heart in it can be equated to the first poem that we read, but obviously for much different reasons. I mean, I'm taken back quite a bit. What I noticed at the beginning is you had a couple lines in that second that caused me to pause. I mean, I even lost myself because there were some poignant lines that I'm sorry, I can't even feels old but new. I'm familiar with lonely. I know days without you. I mean, there were a couple spots in this poem where it really just kind of hit, and your presentation was amazing. I mean, I think there was a lot of emotion in your voice, and that always adds, especially when we get it from the author, your presentation added a lot to this entire write for me. I mean, wow. It was very powerful, and I'm very taken aback. I'm sorry I'm stumbling over my words. What I found most, not most, but additionally interesting is your unconventional format. I'm a big format freak. I love when people play with line placement and how things trickle down the page. Not only did you experiment or get creative with how your justification worked, but you made some really cool choices with capitalization, the lack of punctuation. All of it made all of this feel like kind of a it's more of a thought than a speech. It's almost like a ghostly whisper. I mean, you can tell the sense of loss, but these thoughts come as a stream flow right out of your mind, I guess. And I think the format really lends itself to that. So bravo on that as well. And I guess that's my question. That's kind of what I want you to talk more about. When you put this thing down on paper, can you tell me about the format and what it meant to you and how that helped accentuate the poem?
Yes. With this poem, it was a free flow write. I had just lost somebody very close to me, and so I thought I was never going to write again, and writing has always been a way for me to articulate thoughts, emotions, like all of it. And I just couldn't do it. I tried, like, for days, just tried to pen something desperately, and I just couldn't do it. And so that's what the first few stanzas were like, where it starts off as something, and then it shifts to something else, and then it starts off, and then it shifts. And I wanted to capture that feeling and that emotion of trying and stumbling, trying and failing, and then just letting it all just vent. And that's what it was just letting it all just come out. And I love to write visually. I think visual appeal to poetry is something that more people need to take advantage of. Take advantage of the space of where you put things, of how your wording is. Like, I think it adds so much more to the poetry for the poet and for the reader to just get fully into the atmosphere that you're trying to create with your words.
Very well said. I can't agree more. I really like that answer. I want to give a couple nods to the boards. They're popping off again. Selena says, you're a versatile writer. I applaud anyone who tries to get out of their comfort zone and experiment as I try to myself. Weaver follows up with a wonderful write hope, and then Selena says, I utterly relate to this poem, the muse we find in every pain and loss of love, and also unrequited love. Exactly the format reflects her thoughts, speaking to yourself inside. Superb. Great thoughts from the boards, guys. I really appreciate you guys keeping us alive. Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I really liked the conversation there and what you had to say, Hope, about how people should experiment more with form and punctuation. And really just take time to, you know, be creative and, you know, expand. This has a wonderful imagery and metaphors, great emotional impact. In fact, as Jeremy said, it's powerful. I really do like how there is this message within it of searching for yourself, of self-realization. you know, but it's another poem that speaks on loving people, but it also speaks greatly on loss. And I really like at the end where you say, even your death I've made about me. There's no reason why run from anything anymore. Why run to anything anymore? You're gone. You know, just the sense of despair in that hits so very hard. I also really like years of you live in my muscles, the muscles that I've trained to forget you, but they just couldn't. I feel like a fool now. What was the point of running when my ending was always to you? I like that in its own way, even without the punctuation. With the, there's no question marks, and yet you ask questions. It's the idea of things that all of us have wondered, the, you know, the what ifs in life. And yes. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, great comments, Pam. And I totally agree. I totally agree, and I think those are wonderful observations. And anytime if we ever dive too deep, hope you can just throw it on the hatchet and say, nope, I don't want to talk about that. But one more thing while Pam was talking. The title Vanity of Death, can you tell me why you chose Vanity is such an interesting way to describe the emotions you have on this. Is there anything you want to expand upon with that?
Yeah, sure. I was drawn to Ecclesiastes in the Bible, where the wise man is just questioning everything. Like, what's the point of this? What's the point of that? Like, where things are always going to end. You think you have, and then it ends, and you think you're accomplishing, but when you die, nothing ever lasts. So I felt like those old wise words of Ecclesiastes of just saying vanity on vanity, and I was like reading that because with death, I was searching for anything, some kind of clarity. That's why I chose Vanity of Death, because he says it in Ecclesiastes so many times, vanity, vanity, vanity. And I felt so selfish in that moment of his passing, just making it about me. I was like, yeah, I'm being so vain right now. Vanity on vanity on vanity. So that's why I chose that.
Wow, wonderful, Cher. I like the history of that. No, I like that perspective. Wow. Great answer, Hope. Awesome. All right, I think we're ready to move on. Your next poem is on the board. This Heart Carries the Moon. Ready when you are.
Okay, This Heart Carries the Moon. Mi corazón me da la luna, falling deeper for you. Dreams that don't disappear with the waking of the sun, knocking on ombre orange dust and painted brush clouds, smeared across cappuccino coffee skies, hot steamed leche topping his espresso, one grit fist balled up rattling the hen's cage that doesn't wish to rise, longing to stay drunk on green fiery everclear that rolls down smoky mountain peaks, collecting at the wells that rest in Brentwood. 10 p.m. stratosphere lights up with auroras. Oil slick spillage wipes the canvas filling with beating rose petal veins, crying outwards towards seaside, daybreak waves at Kefka's Lodge. What is in a dream that wraps around the heavy moon that orbits his earth not so dying star? Bordering tidal sub, consciousness of urn, to sing to the spirit of souls intertwined, dancing in the hallways of Luna's naked, darkened mind, shadows of wine that opens to breathe in the concept, body, my body, ours. End poem.
You are really good at reading your poetry, Hope. That was wonderful. Go ahead, Pam.
Yes. Again, we have another one that, you know, experiments with form. And I particularly like this one because it has a wonderful sense of leaning, as if the poem is trying to push open a door. That's what it makes me think of. A brilliant imagery throughout. I like how this speaks on intoxication and speaks on love, you know, as the idea that the heart is a moon and attracts, and the connection between the water and the moon, I think of that. I really do like long to rise, longing to stay drunk off green, fiery Everclear that rolls down smoky mountain peaks, collecting at wells that rest in Brentwood. Wonderful lines there. Also, the heavy moon that orbits his earth, not so dying star, bordering tidal subconsciousness of unseen to the spirit of souls intertwined. I like how that speaks on the idea of not just a physical connection, but an emotional connection. And, another thing I have to bring this up is because we were talking earlier about how, or you guys were talking earlier about how, you know, you mention writing in poems. And another thing that I think is an off branch of that is when people put poets or other authors into their poetry. And I love that you put that part, Daybreak Waves at Kafka's Lodge, because with Kafka, he was very philosophical, he struggled very much with depression. And so I see that as Kafka's Lodge is the idea of someone who is overthinking so much about life that they put themselves into this kind of pit of despair, you know, at least that's when I think of, you know, it's just an amazing write. And I'd like to know what classic poets or authors inspire you.
Well, when I started getting into writing song lyrics were like it for me. I would like read people like Tori Amos, and her songs are like poetry, and that really pulled me into wanting to write poetry. I read Charles Bukowski, of course, and then like Jim Morrison's poetry books. Let's see. Oh, and Pablo, I love him. I love a lot of old poets, just the romantic ones and the ones about just deep sorrow. That's mainly what I write about, so those are the ones that I like to read.
Very cool. Jim Morrison is actually one of absolutely my favorites. So very cool.
Jim Morrison used to have a thing for Pam, but she would not acknowledge his advances.
I know. Yeah, well, you know, what can I say? I was more into Paul McCartney, but he rejected my advances.
No, great answer. I love the Tori Amos answer, too. She is a lyricist that I often forget, but she is packed with passion, and you can definitely hear it in her songs. I think she's a wonderful, wonderful writer on her own stuff. I mean, being a singer first, but obviously I think her lyrics are amazing. Stelina jumped in again. She said, stunningly beautiful poem. Dear Hope, what imagery. This is clearly one of your best pieces to date. Nuno is a lucky boy. So, yeah, I think I have to echo a lot of what Pam said. And I specifically, I mean, again, I want to talk about format because it always captures me so. Pam's comment about the leaning I thought was really spry. I didn't catch on that, and I like that. Something that's kind of weird to say, but I got to, is in that first, that curve compared to the sharp angles of the second, has that sexy appeal to it. I mean, it looks like you're talking about sitting in a coffee bar, it almost looks like a coffee cup or some kind of sexy glass. But that bend that you put in the form of it really was eye-catching for me as you were going through it. In that first as well, I also love one grit fist balled up rattling the hen's cage. Yeah, but I think Pam analyzed this very well. I think she caught on a lot of things that I just want a second. I did notice that you threw out the word ombre again, and when you're talking about colors, do you have a special kinship to that word, or is it just coincidence that we've seen it twice already.
You know, sometimes when you write, there's just some words that you just use as a crutch or just you just stick with for a little bit. I think maybe I just was feeling that word a little too much. And you'll notice, again, in some of my writes, I'll reference a hen. But like I said, like I like to write in code to the person I'm writing to. So
that's cool. No, I like that. And I think Pam even alluded that on your first poem, saying that you can tell when you're writing to someone and you guys have those inside jokes. It's cool that you include those in your poems for someone special. I think that's very neat. And I do the same thing. I get hooked on a word, and all of a sudden I realize that my past five poems, I've picked some obscure word, and that seems to be the centerpiece of everything I've written. So I like that. I like all your color acknowledgments. I like ombre. I think it's cool that you pulled it out a couple times. But, yeah, you really tag on the visual, especially on this one. You really honed in on a lot of color cues, which makes it more tangible, I think, and works so well. And then you also include a little bit of the Spanish. Do you want to talk at all about being bilingual or bringing another language into your poetry and what the significance of that is?
Yes. I am Hispanic and indigenous, so I like to just touch on it a little bit when I'm writing, mainly because to help with the flow. I've had a lot of people, like, when I posted on AP, like, they feel out of touch with it because not everybody speaks all, like, you know, different languages and such. But so I try not to do too much of it. And if I do, I try and remember to put it in the author's notes, what things mean. But, I like to just, I feel like it adds more depth or a feel. And just kind of gives the reader just a little bit more of a feel for me, if that makes any sense. And I also like to add in my poems, like, nods to other poems that I write. So, like, in my poems, I'll put in phrasing or sentences or titles to poems that either I wrote or Nuno and I wrote, just to, like, have a nice little correlation with them. I think that's fun to do.
It adds to the language thing. Didn't we have one last week, Pam, where there was an entire poem written by the titles of other poems? Isn't that something that we talked about just last week?
Yes, that was the last show that we did. The guy had made a poem completely of titles of his other poems. And, because I remember we had the discussion about how that would make a great contest idea.
Absolutely. No, I like that. I think that's really cool. I like the hints, and I like the bilingual piece to it. We've had several poets on here, Mamya, Naomi, to name a couple, that are bilingual, and they throw several languages in their poetry. And, yeah, I think even if you don't speak it, there's an alluring mystique to doing that. So I think, especially to this first one that we read that does that, I think you do it to the perfect degree. I mean, it definitely entices the reader to want to know more, to understand the code a little bit more. So I like the reasoning for it. Very great answer. Alrighty, Hope, we are at that midway point where you get to self-promote away. Do you want to mention any books that you've published, any other sites that you're on? Just talk about yourself a little bit, about how we can find more of your work beyond here at AP.
I really don't. I write just for me, pretty much. Like, I do have a Facebook that I put on my AP bio, but it's mainly, like, there's probably just a few poems that I don't put on AP on there. But, so I just mainly, I go to AP and I write. I don't venture out further more from that. I'm a creature of habit, so I stick to what I know.
That works just fine. No, I encourage everyone, definitely read all of Hope's poems here on AP. And like she said, if that doesn't give you enough, she does provide a link to her Facebook. So get to know Hope, because we were only three deep, and I'm very enchanted with what she's put together. So your next poem, Still Got It, is up on the boards right where you are.
Okay, still got it. tapping away at the granite rock where writers meet when we can't Uber to AA meetings. Two fingers in whiskey wells can make any bell turn soprano. Looking out of the pillar. Two stones fall inwards, peeling that grapefruit tart skin, exposing red meat. Bitter splashback recoils one soft disposition. Tossing for veto into a ceramic empty bowl. Not enough spirulina to make this breakfast plate. The rooster doesn't crow for his coffee anymore. He rises 2 hours early now, sneaking past the fox. What a seat, the red-feathered hen. She's back to scrolling social media again. Chopping away at old hickory logs. Moist, wet wood creates thick smoke. Take a deep breath with cashed-out young lungs. Cough through crisp gray. Kiln the timber. Burn off the sap. There's still heat in the old furnace yet. End quote.
Now this, hope this is Pam's favorite part of the show, where she knows I'm over here blushing because I'm taking all this innuendo for what it is, and she knows that I don't talk well about anything that's sexy when it comes to poetry, but this one definitely does it. I think the metaphor here is semi-thinly veiled on that you're talking about more of a romantic encounter, and maybe even how that romantic encounter takes a journey and it falls off a bit and then comes back around. I like the journey of this poem. I like that it's not all just gratuitous sex that would really be making me blush, but it's something that's a little more subtle, which I always appreciate. It lets the reader's mind do a lot of the heavy lifting. I liked, especially at the beginning, how, where was it? Your lines that just take me away. Whiskey Wills can make any bell turn soprano, belting out in a cappella. How you carried that symbolism a little bit further, I thought was especially spry. very cool poem. I enjoyed this one a lot. I think, again, there's always a right, a perfect level, and it's different for everyone, right? But there's that right level of sensuality that can become off-putting to a lot of readers, or at least I'll say it's off-putting publicly when I get too deep into it. But this one takes it to the right spot, you know? It takes it to a comfort level that isn't something that you wouldn't want a family member to read or someone that might be, or you, whoever that you might be embarrassed to have read something that's a little more hot and heavy. So I think you did a great job. Again, I also noticed that you did Pobrecita with the dual language there in the fourth, which I thought was a cool touch. Great poem.
Thank you.
Talk a little bit, please. When Pam asked you about some of your favorite poets, some of your inspirations in terms of the greats, you mentioned you started with Tori Amos, and so you started off with musicians and even went to the Doors. Mm-hmm. Talk about how much music means to you in your life and how that kind of ties into your whole writing process.
Music is – I love music. I usually have it playing in my house. When it's just – it can really just change the atmosphere, carry a mood. And when I would – there was a lot of times when I'd start writing, I would put on music and set up so I could sit and write when I would want to get in the mood to write. I'm just like an artist in all aspects of it. I like to paint. I like to draw. I've always been around musicians growing up, so it's just, I just like that type of creative, all types of creative outlets. So music, I love it. I listen to all different kinds. And I can appreciate it, all the steps that go into it, from the lyrics to the composition to putting what instruments, all of that. Like, I love all of it.
No, great answer. No, I think that's cool. No, I also am a big fan of all genres of music, and I just wish that I was more musical myself, but at least not yet, not even close. Pam, go ahead.
I think this is beautiful, and I have to agree with Jeremy that I like the balance with the sensuality, how it has a delicate sensuality. And Stelina says she doesn't believe Jeremy, that he gets all flustered. about sensual rights, but I will have you know that every once in a while on shows, I like to go orgasm, 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 just so I can imagine Jeremy blushing.
Well, I did go and listen to a couple of your previous shows, and you did mention that a couple of times. And I do have a lot more rights that aren't so this way. So I steered clear of those just because I didn't want to make you any type of red.
Oh, well, you're so nice. I go out of my way to make Jeremy feel uncomfortable, and you go out of your way to to make sure he's comfortable. You're a sweetheart there. But, yeah, I really like this. Like I said, delicate sensuality to it. I got the impression of the idea of the everyday life, the mundaneness of life, and trying to find that fire, that physical fire, but also that fire of creativity and of the mind and of the spirit within that mundaneness. I really like the rooster doesn't crow for coffee anymore. He rises 2 hours earlier now, sneaking past the fox, Probercita, red feather hen. She's back to scrolling social media again, chopping away at old hickory logs, moist, wet wood, creates thick smoke. Just absolutely, absolutely amazing lines. And now you mentioned earlier you write for yourself, which I think is wonderful because I think that's how most people should write. But what other words of advice would you give people who are just new to all poetry or new to writing poetry? What kind of words of wisdom would you offer out there?
I would say don't force it. It comes and it goes. Don't push yourself to create when it's not just bursting out of you, when there's nothing that you can't find particularly that you want to say, when there's not an emotion that you just need to express. Just because you see other people just churning out poems by the hour, don't compete with it. Don't compare yourself to other poets. Don't make yourself fit into any type of mold of, I need to rhyme, I need to have these many syllables, I need more metaphors, whatever. Don't do it. Don't do it. Do it for yourself and do it to express what's inside of you. And don't get frustrated when you can't articulate what it is that you're trying to create. Read. When you can't figure out what you're trying to say, read other poets. That's how you get to know about poetry, is you dip your toes into it. Read old classic poems, read the ones that people are posting here. And just get to know the ins and outs of poetry because there's so many different styles. There's so many different word plays. There's so many different languages. And that, like, there's and so many languages have so many different ways to say different things. And I find that so fascinating. And you can just get to know more about language, know about words, tempo, flow, all of that just by dipping your toes and getting yourself exposed to it. And just don't force yourself, because then that's the most thing I can think of. Just don't force yourself to write.
You know, and that is really good advice because a lot of people, that's one of the first questions they have is they get on all poetry and they get into this like all kinds of writing, and then all of a sudden they hit a roadblock and they want advice on how to get over that writer's block. And like you said, you can't force it. So I think that is really good advice there. Very cool.
Yeah, Pam, we need to start writing these down. That was extremely well said, Hope. I mean, we need to we need to take everyone's advice and put it in a little pamphlet for everyone, because that was amazing. That was great. Very well said. I like that a lot. And to kind of dovetail on what Pam... I think.
Advice from Headliner's Ball.
Well, that's right. I mean, we've had some poets drop some really great advice. I really like that, Hope. And to kind of dovetail on what kind of continue the conversation with Pam was just kind of hinting at, don't force it, I think, is great. I totally agree with you. And also your advice about this isn't a competition. We're not trying to keep pace with everyone else on what you're producing, which is tough because, when you follow other poets and you see how much they're cranking out, you feel compelled to keep pace or to find that creative juice to be able to produce. But I really like that advice. So on the back end, when you do hit that writer's block or where you do see the well runs dry, do you have any special tricks to get yourself out of a rut?
I will write about writer's block. I have so many poems about writer's block. And just because if you're experiencing writer's block, there's something, some issue that you're not addressing. Like, I just went through writer's block not that long ago. And it was because I was just going through a lot mentally. I was all in my head and nothing I was writing was good enough. And then finally, that's what's awesome about having a partner that writes. He was just like, talk about it, write about it. okay, I will. And then I wrote about it, and then that day I wrote 5 more poems. Like, I just had to hit at that wall a little bit and write about writer's block and express what it is. And then I found out what was keeping me from writing and broke through it.
More sage advice. I love that. I mean, what you just said is really cool. I mean, because the reason you have writer's block is because something else is going on. I think you nailed it. I mean, I think any times that I feel it, it's because I'm always too concerned about one thing or another in my writing, and I just have to write something goofy, something off the wall, and that seems to kind of open the floodgates. But I really like, again, how you put that. There's always something else going on, and you just got to identify it or face it or deal with it one way or another. Great advice, Hope. I love it. We've got another poem by you on the boards. I call you him. It's ready when you are.
I call you him. These words are to my poets. Let my words drizzle mango syrup, sweetener, generously coating robes of a thundering gray. Rosé lips redden from the skin of Portugal's grapes. Drink off beads from blackberry wildflower rose, spreading new toes in olive vineyards. Greens and browns turn red, deep red, to purples ripening, becoming black, all owed to him. Violet pale moon-fired fingers tap against his ribcage, asking, please feed me more. Let me inside, wake in passion, leaning into heavy breathing. The rabbit in his heart zooms, hands reach outwards, full tilt praise and worship, laying at the sanctuary of ours. I long for you to remember embraces, so I'll pin our encounters night and day. Dark hair tousled on torsos, fragrance of us filling your lungs, painting this hour in the cortex of thinker, interlacing desires with wanting, birthing never-ending needs. Have these words roll in hill country meadows, seas of swimming canna lilies, touching the earth of my lavender words. Let me remind you how often this flower blooms at the touch of your poetic words. Siempre, etched in the fire that burns, cursive on tan parchment paper.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful poem. Go ahead, Pam.
Yeah, definitely a beautiful poem. I love how this, again, is another one that speaks on love and connection. I really like Daley, pale moon side fingers tap against his ribcage asking, please feed me more, let me inside, wake in passion, leaning into heavy breathing, the rabbit in his heart. I like how that speaks on the biblical idea of a woman coming from the created from the ribs of the man, and but also speaks on the idea of the personal relationship and wanting to be let in, wanting to know somebody on a deeper level. I really like also have these words, Rolling Hill, Country Meadows, Seas of Swimming Canna Lilies, touching the earth of my lavender words. Let me remind you of how often this flower blooms at the touch of poetic words. Just brilliant lines and very well done. And so if you could sit on a park bench with any person, living or dead, and have a one-hour conversation with them, who would you want to be there with? And let's say you know what? Let's say we can't say Nuno because we already know that you'd want to sit and talk with him. So you got to choose somebody else.
I've never been good at those types of questions. I'll say Stellina. Let me get into her noggin for a little while.
I like that. Very cool. I like that. That would be a fun hour on the park bench with Stellina. Yeah. And if you can't handle that question, I don't know what you're going to do when Jeremy asks you the casserole dish question. So.
I think all of us would pay a hefty dollar to spend an hour on a park bench with Stellina and get to pick at her brain. That sounds like a great time. Something I commented on one of your earlier poems, and it hits me again. I mean, it's your signature style. I mean, again, no punctuation, again with the format. But it's what I really like, and I finally able to pinpoint it in the – let me find my example. 1, 2, 3. In the fourth, it's the way you move unconventionally from subject to subject. So let me start in the fourth where you say, so I'll pan our encounters night and day. And then without a break, you flow seamlessly to dark hair tousled on torsos. And then without a break, fragrance of us filling our lungs. And so it's like, as opposed to a conventional sentence structure where you're forcing the reader to stop, pause, digest. I mean, what I keep getting caught up by is how beautifully you let your moment, the essence of the emotion that you're creating, flow effort. Wow, now I forget the word. You know what I mean? Without trying, it flows effort. Why can't I say it? From one thought to the next. Thank you. For some reason, I got tongue tied. Yes, but you do it so well that it gets you in the moment. As a reader, as a fan, as an audience, you're creating that, and it's smooth. It's smooth when you would think it would be choppy. You would think that if you're stopping and starting that I would notice more, but I don't. I mean, especially in your performance, I'm just in that feel of what you're creating and in that beautiful format, too, that just kind of dances down the page. So. Yeah, I mean, your signature style that we're seeing in these poems that you're presenting, they're obviously very emotionally charged. But these little nuggets, these little nuances that you put in, and of course, all of the popping lines that Pam Pop pointed out, I agree with as well. I mean, and everyone that you've presented so far, there's been those little golden lines that caused me to pause. So you've done it once again. I really enjoy this. So go ahead and tell me, I think you mentioned a little bit, when we were talking about music, you mentioned about how you sit down and put on music, you get inspired to do, obviously, several facets of different artistic outlets with your painting, with all of that. But when you sit down and write a poem, can you tell me a little about that, about the process? First of all, does a line hit you and you create around that? Are you sitting at a desk, are you writing on pen and paper? Just kind of walk us through your entire process a little bit.
I used to write in journals, but I would have books and books and books and books, so I started to type away at it now. When I write, it hits me like a smack. With this poem, what came to me right away was, these words are to my poet, and I was like, okay, like, I can do this. I just went and started typing away, and it just flows out of me. It just comes out, and I try to catch it as quickly as I can, or it escapes me. But I think the flow and the pace is what has to be perfect to me. Like, to me, writing, you're taking the reader's hand and you're guiding them. And so I want that guide, but like with a poem like this, to be smooth. I want you to feel everything that I want you to feel. I want you to be able to be embraced in this moment, like if you're living it too. And so that's when I'll sit down and I'll just type away at it. And it usually doesn't take me too long. If it takes me long, I'll stop. I won't do it. I'll give up. And Nuna will push me to finish writing. But if it's up to me, I'll throw in the towel. If it doesn't come out of me quickly, with ease and smooth, I'll just stop. But I'll sit on my bed, I'll sit on the sofa, and I'll just type away at it. I'll get caught up with a line or an emotion and just go with it. Like, I hadn't written in 2 weeks. And I was going to go take a shower, and I was like, oh, I had, like, the perfect lines. I had to, like, right before I had to call for this, I wrote, like, almost a full poem, and I just stopped. Like, as soon as it comes to me, I have to do it, or it escapes me.
And I like that, because I think, yes, I like that, because you can capture the essence again, and it comes through when you're right, because you are so poignant with your emotion. And I think that that's very powerful, because I know the exact feeling that you're talking about. And I guess the reason I'm asking too, though, is because you obviously have to be coming back to your poems and spending a lot of time with editing to get your format the way you want it. Or are you able to come across this real quick and then you're just playing with your format after the fact? I mean, is it coming to your consciousness when you're actually creating the words?
As I'm writing it, I'll start forming, doing my line forms. And from as soon as I get a few, the first very line, I already visually see it where I want it on the page, either in the middle, to arch, wherever it is. And I'll start, the way I feel it flow for me, that's how I'll start creating the curves. And I start it right away with my format. I can't go back. If I go back and do it at the very end, it'll be a big old mess, and then I'll have to go back and back and back until I get it just perfect. So right when I start, I'll do it right when I start.
I'm impressed. Cool. That's a very cool process. Okay. We still haven't had Benedict show up yet, so we definitely can do another one. And if we go beyond your hour, I know you only committed to an hour. Feel free to pull the plug when you ever like. If he doesn't show up, or continue to your whole set list, we'll kind of give you as much time as you'd like if we have the luxury of that hope, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Your next poem, Love Drunk Notes, is on the board. Ready when you are.
Love Drunk Notes. My love, what is far beyond the bodies of rushing rogue waves, carrying koi fish that wish to kiss, toes in wet sands turned by poetic lustful dreams, watching the distance, constellations riding galaxies, cosmic nebulas flowing down canals of molten comet stardust, imploding the atmosphere's heat. Gravity's pulling young tulips to pucker, swelling lips that plea vows. I love what is there before, drunken petals, staining shoulders, not penciling vines, retracting pollen's fatal, fertile dews, collecting its own nectar to pollute.
This has all formed what is here, now, and real. I cry at the tucked away, drowning figures, nesting sparrows and corkscrew crows, tugging the gray. Not envious of the fires that have spread across the lap, thirsting for milk, constant empty honey pot, false bottom ray of hope. Our spirits are alone, together, till June hungers in December's brooks. Slow twilight shining, Jupiter's epic rings visiting a promise to wait for spring. I don't worry about falling autumn leaves, flying underneath oak trees, far from riversides or ports, where empty beer bottles break. Others float along carrying roses, absent of thorns, resting on the shores of Corpus Christi, hours of three, far from sea. Looking after the kittens and the pup, water, bowls filled to the brim, chin is fat enough to keep them all fed. For 2 weeks, maybe even four, that's where brides wait at the door. Holiday weeks vacation. Bury me, forget me not. And poem.
What a cool ending to this one. Very well done.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how you took this from nature, from the tangible nature up into the ethereal, out into outer space, and you kept coming back and forth with that microscope to the telescope. Different perspectives on life and how you brought it back into love. And then there's a realness to your voice too. There's the beer bottle, which is very real. And then obviously the final stanza, it becomes something that's very everyday. It's something very relatable. So you take my imagination to different places and then you bring it all back home. So this one was kind of a journey. I don't know. It was a journey for I think the theme and the emotion is constant, but where you take your audience's imagination is kind of a cool ride. I really enjoyed that. And I've noticed, and I know we just talked about it, I know we talked about your process, and you also said that you don't like to force it. You do sprinkle in poetic device every now and then. You're not afraid to throw out a little bit of rhyme. You're not afraid to throw out a little bit of alliteration. But you don't make it the center point or the focal point of any of your poetry. Can you talk a little bit about what poetic device means to you or how important that is or how non-important it is?
Well, when I rhyme in my poems, it's always a natural rhyme. I don't ever try and force it. It's just what is coming out of my head because I write to a tempo in my mind, like a heartbeat. That's what I write to. So if it comes out as a rhyme, great. If it doesn't, then, you know, I'm not going to beat myself up about it. But tempo, flow, all of that is important to me when writing. And with this write, I wanted it to be a stanza, to be its own. Like if it was pages from different love notes. That's how I wanted this one to be. So I touched on, I wanted it to feel like as if you were reading a drunk love letter, just pages from someone's drunk confessing love.
I like that. Very cool concept. Go ahead, Pam.
Yeah, I like that too. I like that you brought up the tempo of a poem. You can tell by that answer that you're definitely the type of person that enjoys and appreciates music. This is another wonderful write that speaks on love and connection and the everyday. In fact, you know, I like how, as Jeremy was saying, that you bring us through this trip, this journey through nature and through the galaxies. But then you bring us down last stanza to the everyday, the feeding the kittens and the pup, water bowls filled to the brim, you know. And I like that. I also really like, I cry at the tucked away, drowning fingers, nesting sparrows and corkscrew curls, tucking the gray. you know, there's certain lines here in imagery that make me think of the idea of birth and rebirth, life and death, and the kind of the journeys that we take through life. Just absolutely brilliant and very well done.
Thank you.
Excellent comment, Pam. I'm sorry, my fingers are getting all crossed up. I couldn't say effortlessly earlier, and now I can't seem to make my fingers move. Okay, Hope. I think I got it here now. Your next poem, Dreams Within a Dream. On the board, ready when you are.
Dreams Within a Dream. 2 a.m., your fight with Zeus begins. The wrestling ring, roped in a Kelly King. Sandman's pleas. Hit through the jaw. Pow. Portugal's reigning champion supreme. Another drag from clear skin wraps. Housing dark leaves of tobacco. Burning cherry snuffed out. Aluminum buck can holding the ashes of 2 days' worth of carefree smokes. I stroke your arm while asking if you will let sleep take the wheel. Graveyard shift has its tolls. Must keep the same schedule, day off or not, you murmur as you lay that heavy-headed, salt-and-peppered afro-curled hair back against goose-down's road. Pup has jogged down the road, potholes filled with brown sugar stagnant waters, towers of dishes washed, left to dry on the old gray wire rack. Children tucked into chamomile lavender dreams. Should we roll in fields of passion fruit once more? We take these naked feet for a stroll down gray matter memory lane. Do you remember when we first met? Mom was caught between teeth, and an old cigarette, inspirato, whiskey and ice, rushing roses, blushing at confession, oceans drunk. Rattlesnakes with their advice, cooling cantaloupe seed. You and me, cage rises and falls slowly. My whispers ride your exhales, soft as a pillow kitten paws, hurrying the whiskers of Portuguese sailors, sweet sounds to carry him home. As this woman sits, legs stretched out, tablet sitting on thickened Hispanic thighs, one hand patting his chest, the other tapping away at this poem. Beautiful dreams within a dream. And poem.
Welcome back, Jeremy, and great read there, Hope. Jeremy?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Did you not? Can you hear me?
Yes, now we can.
Sorry about that. Beautiful read, Hope. Please go ahead and start us off, Pam.
Absolutely, yes. Definitely a beautiful read there. Another one that has a tenderness to the emotions. I really like the delicate sensuality, the thought of, you know, just laying there next to somebody. But I also like how this speaks on insomnia, and it's always been interesting to me how it seems like when it comes to mental health, insomnia, depression, that kind of stuff, it's so often connected with the creative mind, and so I really like this all the way through, but especially I stroke your arm while asking if you will let sleep take the wheel. Graveyard shift has its toll. Must keep the same schedule day off or not, you murmur as you lay that heavy-headed, salt-and-peppered, afro-curled hair back against goose-down throes. You know, it's just, I think, such a beautiful thing to see love so passionately and clearly expressed, you know, and I really like this, and you can see that obviously love is an important part of your life. Your relationship with Nuno is an important part of your life and your poetry. I'd like to ask, what else do you get inspiration from?
Well, I write autobiography type of poetry. So I will also write about my mental health. So those types of things. I'm funny this way. It's either all lovey or all dark. There's like no in between. So I'll either go
like
really
that.
Dark poetry or love sick poetry.
I like it. Actually, I had noticed, because I was reading your poems earlier today on the set list, and I had noticed a response you had to somebody's comment, and your response was, and I can't remember their comment, but your response was, I often refer to my poems as journal entries. And that is, mm-hmm. I could see that. And in fact, I was thinking earlier as I was reading your poems, that they kind of remind me of the confessional style of Sylvia mm-hmm. Plath or Anne Sexton. So
yeah, I get that
I think that's
a lot.
Really cool. Yeah, I can imagine.
I get told that a lot.
And there's a kinsmanship to that. I mean, it's passion either way. If it's lovey-dovey or if it's dark, it's still that vein of passion. And that kind of dives into where I was going with my questions, too. I mean, it's good to hear that you're so autobiographical with your rights, because I think it's coming from a place of truth as well. And it's bold. I think we can always tell. I think we've been busted only once, Pam, where I thought someone was constantly being autobiographical, and they just said, nah, I'm making all this crap up. I don't, none of this happened to me.
I actually remember who that was.
I think I can honestly tell you, and I commended him. I think it was Scott Sharp early on in this show. I think he was the one that says, "No, this is an autobiographical. I was just teasing you. None of this is. This is all my imagination." But I think there's a realness, and I said it with Scott. I mean, I commended him for being able to fool me so well. But I think there's a realness to it, and I think it's bold of you to say that it's even autobiographical, because it's letting us know that much more about you when we read your work, knowing that it's coming from a place of truth. But I think it also, mm-hmm. it lends itself to making your audience like your stuff, because it comes across as real. It's real emotion. And because it's real, it's more relatable. And so I guess that's kind of my follow-up to the conversation. If you are putting so much of your heart into this, are you ever impeded by that? Do you ever feel like you're giving too much of yourself, or do you ever feel almost even regretful that you're exposing so much of your personal life or being too revealing through your work?
No. Only because when I write and I go back to read it, it instantly transports me to the day, the hour, the emotions, where I was, everything. And I really like that about my poetry, to where it takes me right where I was when I wrote it, and it brings back everything. So that's what I appreciate about being so candid, because like as I said before, I write for myself. So if anybody enjoys it, or it that's just a bonus. It's just a bonus to it all. But if I think too much about it, I'll start to feel bad about it. Because I've had people, you know, you get those readers and those comments who, I've written some poetry about it, that have a little bit too much to say about whatever it is I'm writing about. So then it can affect me, but I tell myself, like, you know, forget that. Like, I do it for me, you know?
Totally know exactly what you're saying. On a couple of fronts, because everything that I put together is based on it has to be for me. It has to be a personal experience, and it's something that was very poignant in my life. But I tend to wreck it or hide it or bury it with so much metaphor and wordplay and goofiness that you would never know that I'm talking about pickup trucks when I'm talking about stoplights or whatever metaphor, whatever instance I'm talking about is buried. But I do like what you said. When I hardly ever take the time to go back, but when I do take the time to go back and look at work, it's like it's my diary. It's like it's my whole life right there. And I want to say, see, people, I was talking about you when I wrote this, and this is what happened. But I muck it up. And so I guess that's what I want to commend you on, the fact that you are so bold and true and honest, again, with your words and your situations. That's tough. It's tough to be that strong and that open, but it's definitely appreciated. So I love that answer that you gave, and I love that your work is so transparent in that regard.
Thank you.
We have – I will say that Stelena would be commenting a lot more, but she's having some technical difficulties. She does have a comment that I can share for everybody. She says she wanted to say that it's excellent work by Hope and that you did a great job, honey. Wonderful answers and discussion. So – Stelena's still with us. She just can't hear with us right now, so that's why we're not getting as many comments from her. Your next poem, Teacher and the Student, is up. Ready when you are.
Okay. Teacher and the Student. Fireball fist, stone, pounding at the almost 30-year-old threshold, slamming wildly at sanctuary doors, trying to burst wide open his ribs, fighting a place called home that modestly shelters this local Hispanic woman with her 2 46% European, 25% indigenous, 29% Spanish Latinos, who've gone fond to the landlord. Voices in the silo taunt enough to cause worry, gray hair start twirling, the pink elephant in the room begins snoring, waking the hen, who runs to the rooster and begs, "Let me know what time it is." How many floors until I make it to the penthouse, peeling back silver chocolate bar foil, discovering it takes more than tossing lightning bolts to make a real man run. Rational foreign idioms do more than father a couple of orphans. That long drag off a fresh cigarette out of a hard box of Camel Lights will do more than calm a few nerves. 39 moons show shadows even when the eclipse is long gone. It's not too late for dinner. Take the meat off the bone. Spell for me the word flower. Sound out how to say cloud. Don't forget the silent S. A well-balanced mother who tips the scales, trying to remember how to play nice when tenderness is something you get after pounding out the chicken breast flat. How sweet it is to be loved by you. End poem.
Is that a little James Taylor there at the end? I really like this one. I really like this one. And right out of the gate, the 29% Niños have grown fond of the landlord. I really like the realness of that one. I caught the hen. You have been waiting for the hen to show her head again, and I caught the hen in this one. And where is it that tossing the lightning bolts to make a real man run, and the way that came to a point? That was a sharp little nugget that I really enjoyed in this one. Do you want to tell us a little bit of the backstory or the history, or is there anything special about this that you want to share with us?
Yes. This one, this actually captures a day, especially the last stanza, but I'll start with the first one. I struggle with mental health. So you can just be harder on the ones that you love and are closer to you. And so that's touching on is being way less than nice to a very forgiving partner. And so that's what this is hitting on. And I talk about him being my shelter. So, yeah, he's housing me and these two kiddos, you know, and that strong trust of his. And then I'm talking about voices in the silo that taunt, because you know, we get those negative voices in our head at times, those things that can just cause us to just take us there at times. I like, this one's a lot about mental health. I wrote this in very darker place in mind. But, yeah. Then, of course, it takes more than tossing a few lightning bolts to make a real man run. I love that line because being with an understanding person, they know, like, sometimes as Hispanic women, we can get a little look at sometimes. I'm talking about my kids more in this one. This one's more just being, it's more, this one's one of the much more real rights that I've written here recently. And the last stanza is our dinner. My youngest didn't want to eat dinner, and he was going to bed. And Nuno's like, ask him if he'll eat one more time. And so I was like, will you eat one more time? He's like, I was like, what if I take the meat off the bone? So literally, this is our dinner. I took the meat off the bone for him, and he's a little spelling genius, and he was quizzing Nuno on how to spell cloud, and English is not his first language, so he misspelled it wrong. That's the whole don't forget the silent S. And then, of course, standing is pounding out the chicken breast flat. I'm touching that with being just how hard the world is. It can really just take that softness out of you, you know? That's what all that is touching on.
I love that. Thanks for walking through that with us. That was bold. That was bold for you to do that. I really appreciate it. Go ahead, Pam.
Yeah, very, very relatable. I think any one of us that have struggled with mental health issues and, you know, feeling at times a negative about ourselves and, you know, lash out at those we care about the most. I like listening to your explanation of this poem because, I mean, it already is an amazing poem, but to have you delve into it deeper with the explanation really just offered up more depth, you know, of emotion. And I like how this one is very clever, again, with the wordplay and the style. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you.
Great comments, Pam. Your next poem, Past the Attic, is ready when you are.
Okay. Past the Attic. Flapjack's a ghost spot, hitting the counter, missing maple syrup. Fluffy pod kittens, kneading at surrogate mothers, gnawing out for warmth, her need of play, batting around large canary yellow ball, yarn ball, tumbling at any given sound, pale belly flat on the memory foam, keeping the impressions of baggage that has not yet been taken to the attic, too many stairs to climb, groping for a swinging ball, flicking on the light, right before it fizzes out, smack, hitting my scalp on the beam that holds this whole house together. Garment black hangs low, lower than honeycomb, the fiddles between middle finger index, the mustard gritty, turning jelly to royal jam, absent of the bobble of a ring. Clarity, ghostly silhouette, who spills their tea, clumsy little SOB, and preach the priest, absent in need of granulated cubes, fills the bitterness chasing away baby blues, leaving in place milk white silk, clouds of perfect leche, the tinker tinker of a mind, self dedication isn't kind, adding salt to bold wine, leaves me sitting bitter. End poem.
Wonderful read, and I hope you can see the board because Nuno is giving you words of encouragement here as we go through these poems. Go ahead, Pam, start us off, please.
Yes, this is this is wonderful. Again, just, you know, a really an emotional impact. Great imagery and metaphors. I really like pale belly flat on the memory foam, keeping the impression of baggage that has not yet been taken to the attic. Too many stairs to climb, groping for a swing bulb, flickering of the light right before it fizzes out, smack, hitting my scalp on the beam that holds this whole house together. I feel like this speaks in a way of how oftentimes we try to hold ourselves together when life gets stressful, when there is so much baggage to dig through. You know, just like mm-hmm. I said, brilliant imagery and metaphors, beautifully written. And I noticed, like we were talking about words earlier, like certain words. This is, I think, the third poem where you mentioned kittens. And I was wondering, do you actually have kittens, or is kittens a metaphor for something that I'm not catching?
I do have two cats, but I use that for, I'll say secret code.
That's fair. That's fair. No, I like that because that was a great catch, Pam. I totally agree because I was picking up on the kitten reference too. So I'm glad she's dropping her inside lines to her personal audience. I think that's a great catch. All right, you ready, Hope? So I'm going to hand you a dish. You can put whatever you want in this casserole dish. It can be tangible or not. We're going to put it in the oven, bake it at 425, and when we pull it out, it's going to be the essence of you. So what kind of ingredients are you throwing in this casserole dish?
I'm going to say a lot of Spanish spices. And let's see. I'll throw some self-pity in there, some misunderstanding in there, some love in there, and let's just end that with love in there. Love is always the best thing to top it off with, huh?
Absolutely, that's a wonderful answer, especially with all that, especially since it's going to be some spicy love with all those Spanish spices from the beginning. No, that's a wonderful answer. We like to keep people on their toes with that question. It's one of Pam and my favorites. We only have a couple left. Are you still good to go and finish up to your set list? Are you doing okay?
Yeah, fine.
Okay.
Thank you, Matt.
Great. Yeah, no, I know it's a lot to ask for someone to perform for 2 hours, so I just want to be. I don't want to overstep. I appreciate you sticking through with us. Benedict wasn't able to make it with us tonight for one reason or another, so you get the full 2 hours. But we only have two left. I've got your next on the board, Getting Better, Ready When You Are.
Getting Better. Not much poetry in here today. Working my hands as if they're holding out. Bunny rope hostage to the beautiful silence. Can't force the right. Cracking open a robin's egg. Seeing if it's ready to fly. What messy, wasted potential. Perhaps if I let these gears grind a bit. Tapping on the gray. Scenarios to make her think. Why hasn't he reached out? Why must I always miss her calls? Am I the same poet that I used to be? Has someone stolen my identity? This could be the only reason why my rights have changed. No such thing as a metamorphosis, not for girls like me. At least that's what the viewers tell me. The very thought of that makes me giggle. What's so important? The Gemini rises. Duality, she likes to smirk. Oh, alas, I don't want to tap those lines. Should I have about his death again? Will you, the reader, think I'm talking about the death of me? Make myself cry about old shadows? Maybe I can. Walk the line about addiction. Type away at letters how I used to wrap these lips around a straight shooter. 35 for a 40 spot. Spilling half a paycheck in the carpet.
I can make a rhyme about tie-dye little squares and make the walls melt. Seeing my friend holding a katana sword, ready to end it all old samurai style. Or maybe talking about hydrocodone when I was out of OxyContin. The little blue footballs playing hopscotch with his cousin. The yellow school buses. These are all my flatmates. Prescriptions on prescriptions. Oh, wait. I fucking don't make rhyming poetry. Perhaps write 10 stanzas about the cold sweats that come during withdrawals. Would that be romantic of me to do so? Would you, dear reader, like if I tried dipping pens into old heartbreaks? Tried to write word the word rape again in a way that makes you feel comfortable? Because when it was happening to me, I was very fucking uncomfortable. Don't need to make it sound festive and add some glitter to make it shine for you. Do I try and reopen those old wounds? Would that be enough for you? Should I stick to soft, sensual, subtle rites? Sticky, honey words that get stuck to your palms that force you to have to rub it off. To that, dear reader, I'll write about whatever I want. Poetry is what I make of it. And to the rest, I call bullshit. End poem.
I'm sold. I'm 100% sold. I mean, if this is how you get out of writer's block and you create something as breathtaking as this, then I've got to try it. I don't think I'll be nearly as successful, but this is an amazing piece of poetry. For those of us that also like to write, it strikes home on a lot of levels. I mean, we feel a lot of these emotions. And I like how you passively talk about some real heavy stuff in this, and it doesn't get in your face because of how you pitch it. The heavier issues that you touch on, they still strike and they still bite, but it's not the focus. This is still really about you sitting down and expressing yourself and struggling with that little piece. At least it was to me. I mean, I think it's cool, again, how you can – I've never seen someone be able to pitch something heavy like this and not make it the focus, I guess. And so I know I'm repeating myself, but I think it's really clever how that comes across. So very well done. I mean, just very well done, very well composed. I think that's all I have to say about this one. I was taken aback in a lot of levels. Wonderful poem. Go ahead, Pam.
Thank you. Yeah, this is definitely a powerful write. I really like all your poetry that I've read, Hope, but I have to say that this one I decided to put on my amazing, the writes that I think are amazing list. Because it just stands out as an exceptional piece. I like how you peppered this with swearing, but not so much that it overwhelms the poem, but just at the point where you really wanted to punctuate the strength of emotion. I like how this speaks on the idea of how other people's judgment and not putting up with it. There's a lot of bite to this. You know, I like that you speak on the idea of I don't fucking write for you, I write for myself. I like how this speaks on the idea of learning to embrace ourselves and learning to embrace our own growth process. You know, and this almost dripping with sarcasm type line of, you know, like, should I sprinkle my poetry with glitter in order to, like, make it more palatable for you? And I'm slightly paraphrasing your lines because I'm trying to scroll and find at the same time I'm talking. I really like the Gemini Rises duality. She likes to smirk. Alas, don't wish to tap those lines. Should I write about his death again, or will you, dear reader, think I'm talking about the death of me? Make myself cry about old shadows. Maybe I can walk in line about addiction. You know, just the whole idea of how people think that we should write to please them. And I'm going to take a slightly different turn with the questioning. Instead of your poetry, I would like to ask you a couple of questions about your artwork, about art in general. First of all, I'd like to know if you have some favorite classic artists as far as, you know, painting, drawing, or any type of form of that kind of artwork. And also, I'd like to know a little bit about your process when you're creating a piece of artwork of your own.
What artwork do I have with this one? With each piece, I make specific art for each piece. With more of my newer rights. Nuno actually inspired me to do that. But I've always drawn, I've always painted, I've always liked to do those type of things. With this one, I wanted it to be more abstract. I wanted it to be a type of spill art, which it's messy and almost like a Rorschach, where you have to stare at it and see different things. And for each poem that I do, that I make artwork for, it's specifically for that one. Like with Still Got It, I made that one. I just put paint all over my hands and I formed her face for that one. Dreams Within a Dream, I drew that one up. That one's just like a little representation of Nuno and myself, like just a little like dreamlike state. And then the other ones are either photographs that I've edited to be different things. I try and make the whole like looking at the poem from the writing form and the words and the art all like just pull the reader into what it is that I want them to get out of it or get whatever they want out of it, you know? I try and make it a little experience with each thing. And artists that I like Van Gogh, I like Rembrandt, I like a lot of, I look at a lot of artwork where it's like the whole museum's dedicated to like abstract pieces. I do those like little virtual walkthroughs where it's like unknown artists who make moldings and paintings to where the whole room, the whole hallway is dedicated to certain things. I think I like art that pulls you all the way into whatever the artist is trying to express to you, just take you on a little journey to escape for a little bit.
Very cool. Very cool. I like that. Good answer.
So did I miss that, Hope? On all the poems we've been reading tonight, do you have your own original piece of artwork accompanying every single poem?
Yes, sir. Yes, I do.
Wow, I totally missed that aspect. That was a great, great question. Great conversation, Pam. I'm going to have to go back and see the correlation now. That's very cool. I totally missed that. Sorry.
No worries.
All right, I think we're ready. We have your last poem up on the boards. If you choose, ready when you are.
Okay. If you choose. When you choose to look through my art, search into my social media, read my comments left under my rights, getting conclusions to add to the narrative you've drawn up in your mind, 7:10 split, checking the coffee pot, asking if it's still hot, don't come asking what's me you thought you knew. She never existed, but ideally created to tuck you in at night. Poets are made to create, not to cradle fantasies, adding to the pining away. Leaving French spread out on the counter causes mold to fester on the edges. Don't try looking through my closet for that dress you'd like to see. Full round bottom, filling out 90% cotton blend. I can't have you asking, are my sheets as soft as me? Or how long lasting my lip stain is? I'd rather show you the door. Speak on how much you miss the old unacquainted love rites. Frowning upon seeing the young pup wagging his tail at the door. You'd rather lock me up in your noggin. Where fairy tales hum and women cross their legs. Old men that like to pretend. All sweet words I dedicate to them. Secret codes that even I don't know. I'm not the same. A part of me just died when he did. But you won't be hearing me screaming, keeping up at night now, will you? If you choose to stay to read this poet, enjoy her rights or don't. Jam or jelly, vanilla or bitter dark chocolate. We'll roll in bed before we sleep, or write at dawn. Either way, all is good. End poem.
Wow, I love the ending of that one. Go ahead, Pam, start us off with comments, please.
Oh, yeah, another just beautiful, powerful write. A wonderful, wonderful read. You have a very soothing reading voice. Clever lines throughout. I really like the mention of the 7-10 split, checking the coffee pot, asking if it's still hot. And then leaving French bread out on the counter causes mold to fester on the edges. Don't try looking through my closet for that dress you'd like to see. I like how this is the idea of people see things on social media and think that's the whole of you, and make their judgments based on that. Again, we have powerful imagery and metaphors. Just a wonderful look at, that confessional style poetry that you do so well. And I would like to know, what this poem means to you personally.
I wrote this poem because as a woman and as a poet, and I do write a lot of sensual rights, romantic rights, and people have a tendency to cross lines. And so I'm touching on that on here. And they, like, have this little, like, fantasy in their mind where it's like you're their poet or you're speaking directly to them, because I have the way I write, it's like I'm talking directly to the reader in a lot of my poems, not necessarily the ones that I shared here tonight, but people have a way of maybe letting their noggin knock a little bit too hard on doors that they don't have any reason to be knocking at. And when you change your writing style, or you grow as a writer, there's people who don't like it and they want to know why. Why are you doing things differently? They like the way you used to be, or what? Like they want it's like you have to answer to people that that are just reading you. They have nothing to do with you. So that's what I'm touching on here. Just that whole reader, writer dynamic that can happen at times. I don't know. I mean, I'm a female, so I'm touching on the female aspect of it, of having those comments, those DMs, those tapping on the shoulder of questioning, what are you doing? Who are you writing about? It's funny being a female when you write certain ways and the type of audience that you can get at times.
Yeah, and you know what? I like that you brought that up, and that's cool that you're writing about that, because, you know, it can be true. It's not for me because, you know, every other poem I write is about killing somebody. So, you know, the guys tend to steer clear of me. But, no, and there are a lot of, and I'm sure it happens to guys, too. I don't want to say, you know, us women are completely innocent, but,
for sure.
Yeah, But for the most part, when you are a female who writes sensuality, because I have other friends that the same thing happens to them. They write sensual poems, and the next thing you know, the guys are showing up in their DMs going, "Hey, baby." So,
There's not a day that goes by that I don't say, "Hey, baby," to Pam in her DMs, just so you know. Yeah, no, it's cringy and it's gross, and we deal with a lot of drama. I mean, to kind of lift the curtain a little bit, Hope. I mean, there's, when you deal with a community of passionate people, there's cringers out there that just make it uncomfortable for everyone. And as a guy, no one's knocking down my door because of my poetry, but I don't think guys are as victim to it as much as females are, to be honest with you.
And as a guy, surprised.
maybe it's happening. Uh-huh. Again, it's not happening to me, but I think that there's, as an outsider, guys see when other guys are being cringy on this stuff, and it's a weird, icky thing, and I get it. People get caught up in all of that, but what's really interesting is the lines. I can feel sorry that anybody has to go through any of that. It's an emotion, and I'm glad that you talked about this with the subject of this poem. But it's interesting to me that we read something that's as poignant as this with this topic, that the lines that even Pam picked out are the same ones that I keyed in on. I love the 7-10 split. I love that little stanza. And I also like the one, the old men, and I think even you pointed this one out, the old men that pretend that all those sweet words are secret codes to them they don't even know about. It's a gross thing. It's kind of, I hope that it's never meant to be a malicious act. I think people just get caught up in the emotion. And I think when you're a talented writer, I think it's easier for people to kind of let their fantasy get out of hand. Not that I'm ever going to make excuses for weirdos. But yeah, I like the fact. Go ahead.
Well, like, it's not only that. I think people get their favorite poet, and when you start trying to evolve, people don't want you to change. And I think that's mainly the topic I wanted to hit on that more was, it's not just like the cringy, like, you know, whatever. People can be people, you know, but it's like where you have to, people feel you have to answer to them of why you're writing a certain way. Why are you changing? What's going on with you? And it's like, you don't have, as a writer, as a creator, you don't have to answer to anybody. You create, you do it for yourself. Don't get caught up in people trying to pin you down to, this is what you write, this is how I want you to write, this is what I expect of you. Like, just do it. Don't listen to the people who, because there are people like that who want to just keep you stuck in that little fun little box where they go and escape into your writing, and they don't want you to change.
And I think
that's
totally
another
right.
thing I wanted to hit up with that one.
No, I think that's a great point. It's well said because that's the worst. When we follow people, at least the group of people that I follow and I read their stuff all the time, every time they post, I cheer them on when they break outside that box because I like to see people evolve, people grow, people try new things, and it makes me more of a fan of the writing to see that they're multi-dimensional. I mean, even when we interview poets for headliners and we go through the set list, when people give a variety, like you've given us tonight, of different emotions and different ways that you convey your thoughts, it's more encouraging. I mean, you could have given us 12 poems tonight about roses, and we would have been bored as heck. So I think that's the variety. The variety is the spice of all of this. So yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's a great point, and it's a great, great affliction to have to combat. And I'm glad you hit it head on this poem. I think it was very well said.
Thank you.
Hope you have been a heck of a headliner. Thank you for marathoning through an extra hour with us. Again, I'm sorry Benedict didn't join us. He must have been called away otherwise. But you were an excellent, excellent headliner. You presented us with some wonderful poetry. I encourage everyone out there to enjoy your entire body of work. This was a great set list, and it was a joy. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Would you like to give some closing comments, and then we'll have Pam sign us off?
Thank you for giving me this opportunity. I really appreciated having a chance to just dive into my art and sharing this moment with y'all and all the people on Delina and Nono and everyone else who joined in on the group. I really appreciate it, and it was a lot of fun.
Right on. Great. We feel the same way. It was our pleasure. Go ahead, Pam. Sign us off.
All right. Well, great show tonight, as always, Jeremy. Thank you, Hope, for allowing us to headline you and for sticking with us for nearly 2 hours. You are truly appreciated. And thank you to everyone who listens in. We appreciate you all, and have a good night, everyone.